Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
So it's all about kind of thinking, what is the end result that a customer wants to get? And how can I project that to them from the beginning of the funnel? And that will be your hypothesis.
Welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic. This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You'll also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. If you're looking to get started with Facebook ads, you're a total beginner and you'd like to learn how you can create profitable Facebook ads for less than $10 a day, don't miss my free streaming online workshop that I put together for you, which you can sign up for over at rickmulready.com/newbies. That's N-E-W-B-I-E-S, rickmulready.com/newbies. All right, here's today's episode. All right, welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. What's up, my AOPT friends? I'm Rick Mulready, and this is episode number 47. And really excited about this episode for you today. So thank you so much for hanging out with me today. Appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day to listen in. Now, my guest today, her name is Talia Wolf, and she's the founder and CEO of an agency called Conversioner. And get ready for this. This is what they do. They help companies and marketers combine emotional triggers and user behavior to optimize websites, increase revenues, and grow businesses. Pretty cool stuff, right? Well, what does all that mean, actually? Well, you're going to learn exactly what that means here in this conversation today. In fact, it's the very first question that I asked Talia. I asked her to explain what their agency does. And what we're going to be talking about today, this whole episode, is really comes down to understanding your customers or your target customers better so that you can appeal to them on an emotional level. And when I say appeal to them, I mean, we're talking about email writing, we're talking about ad copy, we're talking about landing pages, you know, how you clearly message them and communicate with them to sell your products or services. And we talk about it today from the perspective of how you're going to solve their emotional needs and then being able to use that information to split test different points in your sales funnel based on what these emotional triggers are for your customers or your target customers. Really, really cool conversation today. You know, when it comes to paid traffic, we talk a lot about not focusing on the features of what your product or service can do, but rather focusing on the benefits for your target customer. But as you'll hear today with Talia, she talks about taking it even beyond benefits and instead addressing the direct emotional needs of your customer that your product or service can solve. Okay, really cool stuff. So in addition to understanding more about all of that, you're going to learn today, where is the first place that someone should start with conversion and optimization? We're going to talk about the importance of creating a hypothesis for your ad campaign when you're first starting out. We talk about how to use psychology for better conversions. We get into email marketing tips and strategies for increasing conversions within your emails. I get a little selfish here and I ask her directly, how might someone use this concept for their Facebook ads? Or, and it's really relevant for any other form of paid traffic as well. And she gets into why we should all be split testing and how long we should let a split test run before making any determination about it. We cover a lot in this one. So I've created a paid traffic bonus for you. This bonus is a checklist for everything that Talia teaches in today's episode. You're definitely going to want to reference this every time you're creating a new campaign for your business. So you can download today's paid traffic bonus resource for free over on the show notes page for today's episode, which you'll find at rickmulready.com/47. We talk about a lot of links and different types of split testing services that are available out there. I've linked all those up in the show notes page for the episode again today, rickmulready.com/47. All right, let's go hang out with Talia. All right. Hey, Talia, thank you for coming on to the podcast. How are you doing?
Great. How are you today?
I am doing great. So you are you're the founder and CEO of Conversioner, which is an agency that helps companies and marketers combine emotional triggers. I love this. Combine emotional triggers and user behavior to optimize websites, increase revenues, and grow businesses. What the heck does that mean?
So essentially what we are is a conversion optimization agency. Conversion optimization agencies are mainly focused on kind of testing different KPIs and really trying to increase them and you know, trying to increase conversions for your clients. So sure. Whether it's sure. To increase your registrations or downloads, or revenues, or my cat's meowing, just on time.
Awesome.
The idea is to kind of run conversion tests and A/B tests. And one of the things that we found in the past 5 years is that most people, when they A/B test, they kind of really focus on the different elements on a landing page. So you test like specific things, like a call to action button or a title, or maybe change an image, but you're always kind of treating your landing page, just for the sake of the argument, because it could be a registration form or a checkout process, but you're always treating it as a set of elements. And then what happens is people test them and they get results, but they've got no idea what they mean. Because obviously, you know, blue versus red and red wins, you don't really know what that means or what you can do with that. Moving on. And I think at the end of the day, what really matters about conversion optimization is not that one KPI. It's more about being able to learn a lot about your customers and being able to then use that information to kind of change entire processes within your business. So if you run meaningful tests within your funnels, you're basically able to kind of understand your customers better. And that's probably where emotional targeting comes in, because it uses the user behavior, which everyone knows and is trying to do today, which is, you know, analyzing Google Analytics, using heat maps and tracking and really seeing what people are doing on your website. But it's also combining an emotional research. So it's a lot about, why is my customer on the website? What are they looking for emotionally? And I'm not talking about the features. I'm talking about the actual emotional value. And the combination of them, the both of them, really produce different strategies. So the way that the tests that we run look like are completely different variations. So instead of testing one blue call to action versus one red call to action, you have entire different landing pages, and each landing page has its own strategy and headline and call to action and image and colors and stuff like that. So that when we A/B test and we get results, we're actually able to understand them and say, oh, this strategy works better than this one. And now we can start kind of scaling down and changing specific elements. But the main idea of it is just to really drill down into the psychological reasons that people buy products and showing them within the funnel.
So how do you, so what, if you do that, if you're A/B testing a completely different page, so two different pages, they're completely different. We're talking, you know, like you just mentioned, we're not talking like a different button here and there, two completely different pages. Isn't one page going to appeal to one person as opposed to the next person might like the other page? What happens there? Because everybody has their own personal preference.
Definitely. Well, the way it works is that the way we build our strategies is that we start by asking ourselves, what is the end result a customer is trying to get. And as I said, the end result isn't about the feature or the price. So they're not looking for, a better sounding system or for a price of a system to be cheaper. They're looking to feel something. So it could be maybe feeling part of a community, feeling safe, feeling secure, feeling loved, all sorts of different kind of emotional triggers. And then what we do is once we realize and we kind of identify the different triggers that are motivating people to buy a product, we actually show them within the funnel. So we show them on the landing page. And then we test them. So obviously people that are coming on to the landing pages, you know, they're being directed. Half, 50% are going to the original, 50% are going to the variation. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to see what motivates people. So obviously it's going to be preference, and obviously some people are going to like something and some people aren't. The main KPIs are going to stay the same, but the strategy of the end result and the way things are projected to you are going to be a little different. That way we can kind of see what people really are looking for. So it kind of changes from person to person.
Right. Okay. So what are some of those triggers that you're putting into the different pages? So if someone comes in and, you know, and half are getting one page and half are getting another page, what are some of those things that you're putting in? And I know this is going to be very widely by, you know, from case to case or what you're trying to look for. But is there sort of a general sort of thing that you might want to be testing out that, you know, some of my listeners here could do without having to hire somebody to do this? You know, what are some things that they can sort of focus on to get the more of the results that you're talking about here?
So I think at the end of the day, one of the most important things to do before you even start testing is actually build a strategy. And I know it sounds kind of trivial, but it is actually a very important part of conversion optimization. And I think once you kind of decide your goals and who you're actually trying to kind of get to and what you're trying to do, and you build a strategy around that, it's much easier to test rather than kind of making up things as you go. So we test everyday things like everyone else does. You know, we test intent, exit intent pop-ups. We test landing pages and registration forms and pricing pages. And we'll test different things within the page. But the things that we'll test, we'll try and give them a little more meaning. So really trying to kind of identify the different colors that might project specific emotions, or maybe test like a different kind of funnel. So is it better to have, just have the registration form completely open, or have a call to action button that opens the registration form? So we're testing elementary stuff, but we're giving them a lot more meaning and trying to kind of give them a better strategy so we understand the results, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so are you making... So we had Ollie Gardner from Unbounce on the show earlier, and mm-hmm. one thing he did talk about exactly what you're talking about here is starting from a place of a strategy, having, you know, sort of what you think or what you'd like to accomplish with this, and he talked about having a hypothesis. Are you talking about the same thing? So that when you're putting the strategy together, you're like, all right, I think that people are going to act in this way. So if we set it up this way, I think that this is going to be the result. But if you don't get that, then you get to look at what you're talking about here, the different factors that might be affecting that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you really want to have an hypothesis for a test and not just say, oh, okay, I want to increase registration, so let's just change this. Having an hypothesis really helps. It helps in a lot of ways because, as you said, A, analyzing the results, and B, also kind of getting people on board. One of the hardest things of conversion optimization within a company is getting everyone on board with it. Sure. And kind of, getting the team together and for it. So when you have like an hypothesis, it's much easier to explain why you're doing stuff, and it's easier to analyze than when you look back.
So if it's let's kind of take a step back here. So if somebody is not hiring an agency and they have access to the tools out there that, like you mentioned, Google Analytics, and we have heat maps and Kissmetrics and all these different types of platforms, what are some things that you'd recommend that somebody do to, like I said, who is maybe not hiring an agency to do this for them, and they're just doing it in their own business? What, you know, they've started to put together the strategy. Kind of, what are some tools that they could be using out there to help sort of start to prove, or try and prove, I should say, the hypothesis that they're making?
So first of all, there's the obvious tools out there like heat maps. You know, when you're using heat maps, you're very easily able to kind of identify what people are doing on the website. And it's easy to show others, you know, where the problems are. So if you're seeing a lot of people kind of hovering over a certain section, you can have a very good hypothesis about, okay, if I move this to this section, this might make a change. So that's like the obvious stuff that you can do. And when you're talking about strategy, which is less about kind of just moving elements around and making the user journey easier, when you're talking about actually thinking about emotional targeting and finding the right strategy and how you want to talk to your customer and what messaging you want to be using, I love actually asking my customers. And that's a very big thing. You don't have to make stuff up. You can ask people why they use your product. And And if you have, you know, a big enough company, you can also ask people within the company, ask, you know, customer success, ask sales, ask marketing, what they kind of think is your USP. What is the big, what is the best thing, and why do people actually buy your products? And you'll actually come up with a very interesting list, because every kind of team has a different outlook of why people would buy a product. And you can actually test those ideas. So if someone's trying to buy a product because they want to feel safe, you have to find a way and a hypothesis of how you can show people that using your product or your solution is going to make them feel safe, and they're going to end up feeling secure and in good hands. So it's all about kind of thinking, what is the end result that a customer wants to get? And how can I project that to them from the beginning of the funnel? And that will be your hypothesis.
I love that. So I'm going to ask you a selfish question here. Everything we're just talking about right now, how would we use this for Facebook advertising? Like, if we are setting up a Facebook ad campaign and we want to make sure, obviously, that we're targeting the right type of people, and we're going to use, let's just say, a video ad. How might we use this sort of looking at things from a strategic perspective, creating a hypothesis, and looking at ways to test different things to try and prove this hypothesis? I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, definitely. It's fine. I actually have two questions here. And the first question is going to be, what is your goal with these Facebook ads? And the second one's going to be, what's in it for the customer?
Okay. So let's just say that we are doing a webinar where we want to present, we want to get people to register for our webinar, and we're going to do a value-packed webinar and then offer the opportunity for additional training. And what's in it for the customer is to get information and tips and strategies that they could take away from that webinar, even if they don't, you know, decide to continue with that, continuing their training. They could take away what they learned on the webinar and implement it in their business and see success.
Okay, so you're basically saying that people are going to be getting great tools and tips, and they can use them later. So the way I see it, what you're basically promising is, through this webinar, you can become a better marketer. And what does that mean about become? What does that actually project internally about a person becoming a better marketer? It means that they'll have higher self-esteem. It means that their colleagues might like them even better and think highly of them. It means that their boss might say, wow, okay, this guy or this girl, you know, are really coming along, and I can see their progress, and kind of I know where they're going. So there's all sorts of like these emotional effects, because we say we want to become better marketers, but it's not because we just want to, you know, sell more. We want the recognition. We want our self-recognition, and we want the recognition of our peers and maybe our manager. So if it was me, hi Kat, if it was me, can you hear him?
I can. Yeah, it's great.
If it was me, I would think about the content of the video and the ads themselves. So instead of saying, I'm really bad at copy, by the way, I suck at it, but in strategy, instead of saying, you know, get fantastic tips and amazing ideas, you know, for marketing, I would think about saying like, you know, finally get recognition, or become the best marketer, or bring the marketer out of you, or something that kind of talks about their self-recognition and how they become better versions of themselves. So finally become the marketer you know you are, or something, something of a sort. That's kind of dramatic. But
I see like somebody with a cape, and like they're like looking out over the city, and I don't know. Yeah, that's what just came to my mind as you said that.
But that is that. It is that. It's, we like to see ourselves when we buy products. We like to see ourselves as better versions of ourselves. So how me plus this thing, it's going to make me into this awesome person who can do this rad shit and stuff. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say that.
It's okay.
So that's what you should be thinking about, not the, and that's the clear difference between features and values. So features are will stay the same. You know, the person will stay the same whether they buy it or not. The features will stay the same, but the value is defined by the customer. So if they don't get your product, they could lose out on a certain value that they're looking for.
Wow, I love that. So, yeah, and we talk a lot about, because I'm a Facebook ads guy, so we talk a lot about, yes, focusing on the benefits rather than the features, but you're talking about taking that a step further and saying, okay, the benefits are great, but really focusing on the values of what you're going to offer that person and what they're going to get out of using your product or service from an emotional perspective.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I always take it completely like one or two steps further, because I really believe as a marketer, it's all about selling a perception. It's not about selling a product. It's about selling the dream. And if you can identify what your customer's dream is, and it's not that hard, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but if you can identify what your customer's dream is, it would be so much easier for you to sell it, because all you have to do is show them that this dream can come true. And the way to identify what your customer's dream is, A, ask them.
Right.
And two, ask yourself, I mean, I'm kind of looking at this as maybe the person who started the company, but ask yourself, why did you start the company? Usually when you ask people why they start a company, they have a really cool story behind that. Oh, you know, one of my clients, they sell decals, just these like stickers that you can put on the wall. And whenever I ask him, you know, why did you start the business? So everyone thinks, oh, you know, he probably wanted to make his wall look good or whatever and kind of decorate the house. But the real story is that his son used to play baseball. And he was very proud of him, and he wanted to have him on his wall. Like, he wanted to show him off, and he wanted to feel proud about his son. He wanted to show his son that he was proud of him. And that was the emotional thing. So when we talk about selling decals now, we're talking about how you can, you know, bring joy into your life. You can show off. You can make people feel proud. And that's the thing. So I went off course, but
no, this is great. This is so great. And cause I'm thinking that, like, I love the fact that you said, talk to your customers. Cause you know, we do hear that a lot, and yet so many people don't do it. And I've actually started doing that myself. And with sort of my ideal, the ideal customers in my sort of flagship Facebook ads training course. And I had a call with somebody yesterday, and I was like, blown away, because I was getting all this information, exactly what you're talking about here, where, like, one thing that she said, like, if I can make this work, if I can create a system in my business and know exactly how much money I'm spending on my Facebook ads and have a pretty darn good idea of how much I'm going to get in return, that would simplify my life. That would allow me to take better care of myself. And I have kids, so I could do more things with them and that sort of thing. And I was like, yeah. Blown away. I'm like, yes, that's the stuff that I need to hear.
Yeah. And that's exactly your emotional trigger. So that's what people are looking for. They're looking for what everyone in life is looking for. Not a shortcut, but something to make their life easier so they can spend more time having fun with their family.
Yeah.
So then if I, you know, in that thing, I would test, in this case, I would test maybe a landing page, if we're talking about landing page, or even an ad of a family. Or someone kind of an amazing background and backdrop showing how just someone having fun and enjoying life, because they're, you know, they're carefree. They've got nothing to worry about. As opposed to most people would kind of put maybe a screenshot of the product or saying, you know, here's the tips and what you can do with them.
Yep.
But you want to stay away from stock images, by the way, because the minute I said a person having fun and carefree, I had this stock image in my mind, this happy person. So no, not that type.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot. It from a Facebook ads perspective, people can see right through that now, because of, you know, what people are on Facebook to do. They're there to share with their friends and family. So the more original, if you will, looking type of pictures that you would take with your phone are going to do much better most of the time than these stock looking photos. So I'm glad that you said that.
Completely.
When we're using these emotional triggers here, how does this play into email marketing and increasing conversions from that standpoint? So we're getting away just a little bit from the like an ad or a landing page, but now we're looking at email marketing.
Well, I think at the end of the day, whatever you're doing, whether it's an exit pop, a landing page, or an email, you have to start asking yourself, what's in it for the customer. If you're sending newsletters, if you're sending emails, you really want to ask yourself, I mean, why would a customer open your email? When you think about it, we get like 40 or 50 emails a day from spammers and, you know, different newsletters who are just dying for us to open their email and click on it and engage. But when you actually think about it, I mean, I get about 50. I might open one a day because who has time for that stuff?
Right.
So
what makes you open that one email?
I think it's the title usually.
Okay.
And obviously if it's someone that I know, then I'm going to open it. Like if it's someone that I think highly of and I like the information that they're selling, then obviously I want to do that. So obviously I'm going to say, you know, valuable information and supply good, you know, content, then people are going to open it. But more than that, it's a lot about thinking about who your customer is. When are they most likely to open the email? When would they most likely care about it? And what would make them open the email? I mean, what is that one USP that would make them consider, you know, I have some time now. I have these few minutes to think about it and actually open your email or save it for later. So that's kind of the things that I would work on. I mean, obviously, the reason I'm kind of steering away from A/B testing is because it's obvious. You have to A/B test everything. Everything I've said throughout this call should be A/B tested.
Yeah.
A/B tested. But yeah, I definitely focus again on your customer, and then obviously the headline, you know, the subject line, sorry, is extremely important because that's what's going to make people open the email.
Sure. and speaking to or creating a subject line, I should say, speaking to that emotional trigger of what you're trying to get across.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, humor is fantastic. And knowing when to send an email is a good thing. I mean, I've sometimes opened emails just by like one of the things that appeals to me, but this is the type of person that I am, is when I get like this, I have just one question, or can you please help me out, or something kind of that you can see that it's a personal thing, even though it isn't, but you feel like it's a personal kind of call. And some people would prefer like opening more kind of funny emails and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I actually the emails that I really like opening, are you familiar with the product called The Skim? It's not a product, is it?
The Skim? No, I'm not actually.
Okay, it's The Skim with double M. And it's basically, well, you shouldn't, because it's for females, basically. But it's an it's actually a daily email that gets sent to, you know, supposedly business women who haven't got any time, and it basically summarizes all the most important news of the world. So every day I get this email. It's called the Daily Skim, and it has like, you know, like really weird subject lines. Like today it said rabbit, rabbit. No idea why. But
was there any mention of rabbits in the email at all?
No, nothing. I don't know what it was. And then the second thing goes, skimmed while watching the US beat Germany in the Women's World Cup. Next stop, the final. So this is like, okay, a cute way of saying, you know, we wrote this while we were watching the game. B, it was also informing me that there was a game, right, the US beat Germany.
Yeah.
And they're also kind of giving me, oh, okay, there's something to come up. So it's kind of, they've also kind of, the whole way they've built their newsletter is around really short sentences that you could use in a conversation. So that if anyone says, did you know that US and Cuba, I'm just reading out of this email, yeah? Did you know that US and the US and Cuba are officially reestablishing their you know, their relationship, and you go, oh yeah, I read about that. So, and it's just
which
like,
you did.
Which I did.
Right.
Yeah. So okay. It's kind of cool. And the way, the reason I'm telling you about this is because the way they've structured the email is so informative and it's so much fun to open. And I, you know, sometimes I don't have the time, but I'll actually kind of keep it just in case I do have. And even if I don't have time to read it, I'll quickly open it and kind of skim through it, which hence the name.
Yeah.
And find if there's one piece of information I've missed and then close it. But they're interactive. Like every day they surprise me with a new title. They bring in some like weird stuff. And like also they have like the quote of the day thing, which I love too. So.
Are they making, just out of curiosity, and this is definitely a side note here, are they making money from it? What's the revenue model? Do you know?
You know what? I have no idea. I have this feeling, I'm guessing they have like a lot of links that are linking out to different articles. So I'm guessing that they're getting like a referral fee. Some sort of referral fee, I'm hoping. And sometimes actually they have like this skim today is brought to you by Eventbrite or whatever. Probably kind of do that.
Gotcha. But. All right. Well, even though I'm not a woman, I'm going to go check it out because I'm curious to see it and see how these emails are being received every day. Let's start to wrap up here. And so what I kind of am hearing you say throughout everything we've been talking about, this has been amazing. And I love the direction that this took is that you really need to understand who your either potential target customer is or your existing target or your existing customer. Really understand that this whole word, and I'm beginning not to like it so much, but the avatar of your customer, you really have to understand them from all kinds of different levels. And what we're talking about here is understand what they need from an emotional level and what you are offering, how that can solve or help them with that on the emotional level. And then from that, developing a strategy to you know, from start to finish, create a hypothesis around that. And then my question for you, and I'd love to kind of finish off with this one, is now that if someone has done that, if they've gone through all that, they understand their customer, what is the first thing that you recommend that they start to test out? So let's just say that they do create two pages and they're going to A-B split test both of those. Where should it be, like headline? Should it be, what do you think the first thing should be?
I cannot answer that because it really depends on the target audience and your funnel itself.
Okay.
I mean, I guess one thing that I would say is that if you've managed to profile your customers and you can build personas or you can profile them and you think you found the emotional triggers that matter, that's when you want to start testing them. So you don't have to test like one headline or one call to action. And that brings me back to maybe the beginning of the call. Mm-hmm. You want to think larger than that. You don't want to treat a landing page as a bunch of elements. You want to treat it as an entire message. So the entire page, the way it's structured and its messaging is what makes a difference. So for example, I was talking about this what I did today is I posted a new blog post that the name is Four Meaningful Landing Page A-B Tests Ideas You Can Run Today. So basically just A-B testing ideas you can run. And one of them is just about that. It's about testing the different headline strategies. So I gave an explanation about India's biggest chat application. That's apparent name. That's what they say they are. It's called Hike, and that's what they wrote on the landing page. So Hike, India's biggest chat application. And then one of the things that I was saying that they could do, instead of saying, you know, we're the biggest chat application, say why. I mean, obviously, if you're the biggest chat application in the world, in India, sorry, there's a reason for that. And that's what they're missing. So I would kind of focus on the end result. So.
Okay.
If that makes sense, instead of saying, you know, I'm the number one solution for this, or we're the biggest, or, you know, hundreds of people are using us today, I'd focus on that and showing the end result. And then it could be with an image, a headline, you know, the entire page. But as long as you're kind of showing that, that's what matters.
Love it. Love it. Now, I lied to you. I'm going to ask you one more question. How long should somebody test something? And because on that, that made me think when you're talking about before. When I was on the call yesterday with the person who, one of the people who's in my training course, that's what she was asking. Like, she's testing new audiences and new messaging for those specific audiences, but she was, you know, having a challenge with how long do I test this? How long do I let it go before making a decision on it?
Well, that's kind of a problematic question, because in general, any A/B test shouldn't run less than 14 days because you really want to give it a chance to run enough time to see that nothing kind of interfered and there wasn't a certain specific, you know, interference in the middle. Maybe there was a better day or whatever. So you want to have like each day run twice. So two Saturdays, two Sundays, two Mondays, whatever. And really have like consecutive 2 weeks where you can test that. But when you're testing strategies and concepts, you know, at the end of the day, putting everything aside and all the strategy and psychology and emotion, you have numbers and you have data that you can use. If you look at the offline world in TV, people have been producing emotional ads since forever. I mean, when was the last time you looked at a perfume ad and understood it, or cigarettes, or whatever? I mean, it's always been about stirring some sort of emotion. But as opposed to TV, you can actually track things, you know, online, and that's the gift that we have. So just use your A/B testing tool. See when it comes significant. Give it at least 14 days. Test it out. And you have the tools to make that decision. And then if you're not sure, because it's a big, major change, I always kind of leave 10% of the loser anyway. But depending on the size of the test that I'm doing, but if I'm running a really major, big change, if I find a winner, I'll usually put like 95% of the traffic on that. And then I still have 5% of the traffic going to the old site or to the old landing page, just to make sure, just in case of seasonality or anything, and give it some time. So in case, I can always go back to it pretty quickly.
Gotcha. That's a good lesson there. This is a great place to stop. This has been really eye-opening for me. This is this has been great. And I know that my listeners are going to get a ton out of this. Talia, where can people, what's the best place for people to connect with you?
Definitely on Twitter, which is my handle is TaliaGW, so you can tweet to me there. And also on our blog, so definitely follow our blog. There's a ton of tips on how to get started with emotional targeting and guides and one-on-one stuff and testing ideas and stuff like that. So
yeah, and it's conversioner.com, is that correct?
It's conversioner.com. You can find the blog there. And there's also, a really cool color guide, emotional color guide that we've just posted. So you'll find that interesting.
Awesome. I've spent some time there. It's definitely a wormhole. like, oh, that was an hour that just passed and I'm reading articles over here. It's great. It's great.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'll be sure to link up all the stuff in the show notes for today's episode. Talia, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Really cool conversation with Talia today. Hope you got a lot out of that one with her. We covered a lot in a short time, so I broke down everything that Talia went over today in today's paid traffic bonus. Now, the bonus is a checklist that you're going to want to reference every time that you're creating a new ad campaign for your business. And you can download this bonus resource for free over on the show notes page for today's episode, which is at rickmulready.com/47. That's the number 47. You'll also find all the links that we talked about today, as well as a transcript of the interview. Again, it's at rickmulready.com/47. All right, that's all for today's episode. In the coming episodes, we're going to be talking about copywriting. We're going to be talking about email marketing, the psychology of online persuasion. I've got another Q&A episode coming your way. A ton of great stuff. Until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.